Well, at one level, it's very obvious what tonight's Bible reading is all about. I was very grateful for verse 1. I hope you've got your Bibles open at Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, page 740. And verse 1 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Jesus often told parables, didn't he? Stories with meanings. And this story is unusual because he tells us straight away what the meaning is, that Jesus' disciples should always pray and not give up. That's pretty relevant, I think, isn't it? Wonder how easy we find it to pray. On a scale of 1 to 10, I suggest we find it pretty hard to pray. There I am at home, I bow my head to pray. And immediately, all sorts of bizarre things come into my head. So I suddenly think, well, I feel a little bit hungry. If I just run and get a biscuit, things would be so much better. So I go into the kitchen, and then I notice the rubbish bin is overflowing. I empty the bin, take it outside. I get chatting with a neighbour, which is all, you know, very good. And after half an hour or so, I come back in and get down to praying, finally. I start praying for Mrs. Williams. I'm sorry if there's a Mrs. Williams here. Start praying for Mrs. Williams. Which reminds me, I must just email Mrs. Williams about that bit of admin that is important. And time just goes, doesn't it? Or is it just me? Wonder if we feel guilty about our prayer lives. And we need motivation. Help me. Please help me. Give me something that will help me to pray. At one level, then, it's very obvious that this Bible reading is asking the question, why should Christians keep praying? And yet there's a twist in the tale. Have a look at the very end of the section, would you? Verse 8 and the end of it. Jesus said, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Now, I didn't expect that as we went through the reading. I thought this was going to be just about how to keep praying in the moment. But in the end, I find it's much bigger than that. It is that. It's bigger than that as well. It's about how to keep trusting in God and expressing that in prayer all the way until Jesus returns. That is what Jesus is teaching about as he draws near to Jerusalem, as he draws near to the cross and to his resurrection. He's looking years ahead to when he will return one day. Last week, then, the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will God's kingdom come?" In chapter 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said, essentially, God's kingdom comes when I am here, first in weakness, yes, but one day to return in glory. And yet Christians find it so hard to wait, don't we? Remember verse 22 of chapter 17. "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man." Because we stumble through this valley of the shadow of death and we can't wait for the Son of God to dawn upon the earth and put everything right and live with us in paradise. But it seems to take so long. So why should Christians keep trusting? Why should Christians keep praying? The story Jesus told contains three priceless answers. And the first is this: because we're vulnerable. Because we're vulnerable. Would you look down with me, please, to verse 1, chapter 18 and verse 1. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, 'In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary."'" Why should Christians keep praying? Because we're vulnerable. The widow, there she is, banging on the judge's door. She's a picture of disciples, of Christians. And did we notice how vulnerable she is? What's the one thing she has in verse 3? She has an adversary, an opponent. What's the one thing she doesn't have in verse 3? She doesn't have justice. In Bible times, widows were even more vulnerable than they are today. Again and again, the Bible tells us that. So Exodus 22, verse 22, for example, God says, "Do not take advantage of the widow or the orphan." Deuteronomy 10, verse 18, because they're vulnerable, it's God who defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. And so God tells his people to do likewise, Isaiah 1, 17, to plead the case of the widow. Fast forward to Rome and Jerusalem, and there was no system of state benefits, it seems, no state childcare. And so it was the church which quite rightly gave food to its own widows, Acts 6, verse 1. And yet even there, that was fraught with problems. Then can we see this poor widow banging on the judge's big wooden door, and presumably somewhere else in that town, perhaps her adversary is relaxing, perhaps in his mansion. I wonder in what sense he's her adversary. Maybe he's refusing to let her inherit the money that should be hers so she can care for her family. Or maybe the adversary is trying to grab what little she has because he knows that she's vulnerable. He thinks he can get away with it. Christians, in ourselves, we're vulnerable too, aren't we? Apart from God's grace, mercy and help, we need to keep praying. Jesus is training his disciples. After his death and resurrection, they would be severely persecuted for their faith. Many of them would be martyred. And Luke's first readers probably faced similar dangers. Now, thankfully, unusually in history, we're not persecuted so violently. Though I know some of you have been severely treated for your faith. And the Bible says all Christians will face persecution at some point. And yet other adversaries we do face all the time, don't we? Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. The devil, it means the accuser, because like a wicked barrister in court, he loves to accuse us. Ha ha, God, look at them. See how they've messed up today. You better blast him now. The devil and the world. The world hates it that we've changed sides. Hates it that we make them look bad. They'd love to lure us back to the dark side. Or they think it's strange that we don't plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. And they heap abuse on us. 1 Peter 4 verse 4. Yet of course we can't just blame the adversaries out there, can we? The most dangerous enemy is right here, is it not? The old monster inside that won't give up, won't just die until my dying day. As Jesus said, from within, out of people's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Mark 7:21. Wonder if it's surprising that Christians are vulnerable. I wonder if that's a surprise. Sometimes we think we're strong. I'm doing well, we think. This week has been okay. I've moved on from that stuff. Well done me. But God says if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12, because pride comes before a fall. Then let's not trust ourselves. As we go home, as we start a new week, let's be very doubtful of our own strength. Why should Christians pray? Because we're vulnerable. And since we can't trust ourselves, let's trust God instead. And show that in prayer. I hope we pray every day that God will protect us and strengthen us spiritually, us and our loved ones. I hope we pray for godliness every day. We'd be crazy not to depend on God. Well, it would be like a soldier walking across enemy lines with nothing but, well, dressed in a pair of pajamas and holding a teddy bear. That's what it would be like to wake up tomorrow and not to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus. Let's demonstrate that in prayer. Now, why? Because first, we're vulnerable. And I don't know about you, but I want to panic then. I know I'm as weak as little David, and I'm facing the, you know, like giant Goliath. And what hope is there? Surely it's best just to surrender on the spot. Well, no. No, no, no. Jesus wants to put his arm around Christians and to give us a massive encouragement to keep going, to keep praying. Why? Secondly, because God's chosen us. Because God's chosen us. Let's see that together. Would you look down again, please? From verse 1 again. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Jesus said. So why should Christians keep praying? Because God's chosen us. That's why God loves us so much. If we're trusting and following Jesus today, it's because God has chosen us. Now, why did he do that? Is it because we were specially special? No. If you check out in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 later, you'll see that right from the start, God never chose people because they were special, but because of his love and mercy. We've just seen that in ourselves, we're morally dirty, kind of founts of impurity. It's the other way around. God chose us first while we were still sinners. Christ died for us to take our penalty. And so he adopts us as his beloved children. He doesn't leave us as orphans as we trust in Jesus. And so he makes the unlovely lovely in his sight. Totally valuable. So as we entrust ourselves to God, as we entrust everything to God in prayer, we are secure and safe. Doesn't mean to say things won't get bad. Things might get very bad. We might even get taken to heaven. But we will be totally loved. That's the best thing, isn't it? We will be totally loved, however sad things may be in our lives and the lives of our families, those who are left behind, whatever trouble we may be facing this week. We are secure and safe as we trust in Jesus. Then why should Christians keep praying? Because God has chosen us. Think of the man in the story, the unjust judge. It's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Think how different God is to that judge. God is the opposite of that judge, if I may say. Verse 2, the unjust judge neither fears God nor cares about men. He doesn't respect God. He doesn't respect people either. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. He doesn't love anybody. There's the judge, maybe in his chamber. Can you picture him sitting in a big chair? It's a Friday afternoon. The green writing lamp matches the green leather on the desk. His round red cheeks hint that, well, he's used to wining and dining. So when the panelled grandfather clock chimes 5, the judge picks up his pinstriped jacket and strides out. Except he has to stride through the secretary's office, and as he does so, his secretary says to him, "Excuse me, sir, there's a lady to see you. She's in the waiting room." And the judge barks, "Is it that woman again?" "Yes," says the secretary. "Then tell her I'm finished for the week," he retorts. When the judge arrives home, his pretty wife welcomes him at the door. He takes off his scarf. He's looking for a kiss, but instead his wife passes him the phone handset. She says it's urgent, she reports. The judge grabs the handset and smashes it down on the charger. "The only thing that's urgent, darling," he says, "is tea and cake." Well, it's 9 o'clock in the evening. The judge has put his feet up by the fire, a glass of port in his hand, eyes half closed. And the sudden doorbell sounds like Big Ben in the silence. Cross and confused, he opens the door. And tears rolling down her cheeks, the widow simply begs, "Please, sir, the bailiffs, they're taking my boys tonight." Oh, well, it's a bit of dramatization, isn't it? But the judge doesn't care about people. But God cares very much. The judge doesn't care one jot. But God cares for Christians so much because he died on the cross, because he has chosen us. Then let's not despair. In a sense, we're vulnerable. We are. But the alternative to self-confidence is not no confidence. The alternative to self-confidence is confidence in God. Then let's run like little children and throw ourselves into his arms. I heard of a Christian lady, and this was her favorite Bible passage. Why was this her favorite Bible passage? Unusual passage. Because she said it kept her going in a time of great darkness and personal difficulty. It showed her that it was okay almost to pound the doors of heaven with frustration. But she didn't have to just shut up. That she could be real with God. That there was hope that he would act and do something. And why? Because he'd chosen her. That monster inside of me fools me that prayer is a boring, miserable, or pointless thing. But nothing could be further from the truth. If you've been at a prayer meeting recently, I hope you'll agree that they've been joyful, precious times. When we love someone, we want to talk with them, don't we? And when we know they know we love them, they love us, they want to hear our hopes and fears, don't they? Our problems and needs. Then how much more with God? Great love. Why not great prayer? A famous old preacher said, "A man is what he is on his knees before God and nothing more." That's very humbling. A man is what he is on his knees before God and nothing more. Very humbling. And yet, what we are on our knees before God is infinitely valuable. We are infinitely valuable to God. That relationship of dependence is priceless as we trust in him. Why should Christians keep praying? First, because we're vulnerable. And secondly, because God's chosen us. And yet sometimes we pray and we don't get the answers. Isn't that right? Or we do get the answers, but sometimes it's wait. So what's the point of keeping praying? Maybe you've been praying about something every day for years and years, and what's the point? Well, thirdly and finally, because God will give us justice. God will give us justice. And let's go into the text again, and we'll actually finish it this time. If you come with me, we'll start again from verse 4 and go to the end. Verse 4. "For some time he," the judge, "refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Why should Christians keep praying? Because God will give us justice. Even the unjust judge gives the widow justice in the end. Not because he feared God, he didn't. Not because he cared about people, he didn't. He gave her justice just for the sake of an easy life. Verse 5, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Literally, it could be so that she won't eventually give me a slap or give me a black eye. She won't wear me out with her coming. Well, if the unjust judge, if even he gives justice in the end, then how much more will God? Verse 7, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? How much more will God give us justice? Now, when is he talking about doing this? Verse 8 says, quickly. He will see they get justice and quickly. So why do we still face the struggles we face? The key seems to be the very end of the final verse, verse 8. Did you see it again? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man, that is Jesus, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus has been looking beyond his death and resurrection, beyond his ascension to heaven, beyond today's day to day to his return one day. And here in verse 8, we find he's still talking about that. In one sense, Jesus will come back quickly, certainly from the viewpoint of eternity. Last week, we found that Jesus' return would be very sudden, very sudden. It'll definitely happen, and in the blink of an eye, and then God will give us justice. I guess that was encouraging for first century believers as Nero threw their loved ones to the lions. Jesus will come back to put everything right. He will judge justly. And yet, I don't know about you, but I don't find that immediately comfortable. If Jesus will return as the just judge, then who will he be pointing the finger at? If he's going to be just, then what my conscience says, doesn't he need to punish me? So why is it good news that God will give us justice in the end? Because Romans 3:26 says, God is just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. He justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So Jesus died to take the just penalty I deserve so he can declare me innocent. No more than that. So he can declare me good. And when Jesus returns, I'll say, I'm so sorry. And he'll say, don't be silly, it's dealt with. And in justice, he will welcome me, forgiven and befriended, into his home. He will declare me just and then give me justice. My wife Hannah and I have been watching a TV adaptation of the novel Death Comes to Pemberley by P.D. James. If you're not familiar with it, you may be familiar with the novel Pride and Prejudice, which other people have read. And it's a murder mystery apparently set in that context, Death Comes to Pemberley. Now, without giving everything away, the murder suspect is a pretty dodgy character, a scandalous soldier called George Wickham. And to start with, we assume that Wickham is wrongly accused of this murder, that he will be declared innocent and saved. But as time goes on, we realise the truth is, well, he's a nasty piece of work, really. And whatever he deserves, he doesn't deserve to go scot-free. Well, I want to tell you what happens, but I won't. But the point is, George Wickham, he's redeemed. In a sense, he's redeemed in the end. And how is that? Again, without giving too much away, because somehow the innocent murder victim died in Wickham's place. He died in Wickham's place. And so Wickham receives a gracious justice he doesn't really deserve. The analogy is far from perfect, as you'll realise if you know the story, but perhaps it captures something of the sense of mercy and grace that God bears towards Christians in his justice. His justice will come by loving, generous, self-sacrificial redemption. Doesn't mean to say this life will be a bed of roses. We know that. The widow had a pretty tough time, didn't she, as she waited. But why should Christians keep praying? Because God will give us justice. The future is bright. Our eternal future, it is as bright as the sun for all who trust in Jesus. And it will be forever. Then let's keep praying. Let's keep trusting Jesus for forgiveness. So every day we can pray, sorry for sinning again. Thank you so much that you forgive me. Maybe you've never prayed that before. You can come to him and find peace today when you do that. Let's keep praying about all sorts of things. He might say, wait. And yet we can trust him that he knows best and that all will be right. When Jesus returns, all will be just and good. Let's keep praying. And let's keep trusting. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Yes, he will, but will it be our faith? Let's keep believing the good news about Jesus. Times will come when our faith will be severely challenged. Maybe you're facing that already. Let's keep believing, keep staking our lives on it, on what Jesus died and rose for. Keep going. As we close, let me tell you about Eric Liddell. Many of us will know at least the start of the story of Eric Liddell from the film Chariots of Fire, perhaps. How Eric Liddell represented Britain in the 1924 Olympics. And how he chose not to run his best event, the 100 metres, because a race was held on the Sunday. And how, against all odds, he won the 400 metres race instead. We may not know the end of his story. A year later, Eric Liddell gave up everything to return in his parents' missionary footsteps to China. For 18 years... he served often in extremely poor and dangerous areas. In 1943, Liddell was imprisoned in a squalid Japanese prisoner of war camp. He died of cancer in that camp. He never met his youngest daughter. He was buried alongside thousands of prisoners with no headstone but a rough wooden cross. And you might ask, where's the justice in that? Eric Liddell knew the answer lies in Jesus, in his cross and his second coming. He taught his fellow inmates the hymn we're going to sing in a moment. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Why should Christians keep praying? Because we're vulnerable in and of ourselves, because God's chosen us, and because he will give us justice, gracious justice, in the end.